Thank you so much, praise team. That was so beautiful. Oh, you led us right to the throne of grace this morning. Praise God. Good morning again, everyone. So nice to see you all here. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, have you ever had a time in your life when things didn't go as you expected? Perhaps you thought you'd done pretty well for yourself, but later on you discover how things really began to unravel. I believe the prophet Elijah had such a time in his life. In verse 4 of chapter 19, we find Elijah the great Elijah, the prophet of God Elijah, hiding under a broom tree, scared, depressed, dejected, and wanting to die. He cried out, "It's enough, Lord, take my life." Friends, there must be something going on in one's life of a severe proportion to want God to take your life. Why? Why would Elijah feel this way? Just the day before, he had one of the best days of his life. He had utterly destroyed the followers of that false god Baal in that epic battle of, "My father is stronger than your father." You remember the story, don't you? I did share this story with you about 5 months ago in a sermon entitled, "My father is stronger than your father." Do you remember it? Oh, bless your hearts. Thank you. It made an impact. Praise the Lord for that. Well, this morning, let me share with you a very brief summary of what transpired on Mount Carmel 2,800 years ago. And then we'll catch up with Elijah as he abruptly vacates the area and goes into hiding. You remember, Elijah wants to prove that his God is the one and only true God, so he challenges the prophets of Baal to a duel. And here are the rules, Elijah says. "I'll build an altar over there, and you build an altar here. I'll get a bull, and you'll get a bull. You'll cut your bull in half, and I will cut my bull in half, and we'll lay them on the altar. Then we'll each pray to our God, and whichever God sends down the fire first, he wins." And all the prophets of Baal agreed, and so did the children of Israel. The prophets of Baal cut their bull in half and lay him on the altar. And now the contest begins. The prophets of Baal begin calling on their God, and calling on their God, and calling on their God, and after a few hours of ranting and raving, there is no fire. Elijah, after watching the spectacle for a while, starts heckling and says, "Hey, Baal boys, is your God asleep? Is he on vacation? Maybe you need to call a little bit louder." Eventually, the prophets of Baal get utterly frustrated. Of course, there's no fire, and in an attempt to show their sincerity and devotion beyond all bounds, they start cutting themselves with knives until the blood is gushing out everywhere. There's so much blood everywhere, and everybody is carrying on, but there's no fire. Lying there exhausted, dejected, and even a little embarrassed, I would say, Elijah steps forward and says to the people, "Come closer, will you please?" Now, Elijah knew that God was going to come through, because God always comes through, doesn't he, beloved? And it would have been easy enough to just pray a simple prayer. Elijah could have done that, and God would have sent that fire down. But I don't know. Perhaps in a stunning act of bravado, and I think this is partly his idea, because I can't find it anywhere in the Bible, Elijah commands his attendants to do what? Soak the altar with water. Not one time, not two times, not even three times. There were 12 pitchers of water poured over the altar for that dramatic effect. And then he stands back and he says in a loud voice, O God, let it be known that you are God and I am your servant. And of course, the altar goes up in flames. Elijah then commands all the people to seize the false prophets of Baal and has them executed. And that was that. Can you imagine Elijah at that moment? I know we are told that he was a humble man. How great would you feel, though, if you were there? If you were Elijah? Can you feel the exuberance, the energy, the elation that might have gone through your mind and your heart? Being the one that the Almighty listens to and brought down the fire. I can imagine Elijah must have had a sleepless night, replaying all the events in his mind that just happened the morning before. I mean, if it were me, I would be thinking, wow. God really worked through me today, didn't he? I can hardly believe it. God, you and I are together on the same wavelength. You and me, Lord. What a great team we make together. And everybody can see me, I mean, see you working through me. But what happened? If he had any, Elijah's dreams of fame are brought to a dramatic end when Jezebel, the queen, a follower of Baal, sends word to Elijah that because he killed all her Baal priests, she is now going to do to him within the next 24 hours. And Elijah, the same Elijah who yesterday was on top of the whole world with God, comes unglued. He is scared for his life. He runs away, crying into the wilderness. What a difference a day makes. But we can understand his situation, can't we? Haven't we, had mountaintop experiences with God one day, and then the next day we're questioning, we're scared, and we're running? And all the things we saw God do in our lives the day before doesn't even matter. You know, I've heard it from our youth who go to these youth rallies. They go away for a weekend or maybe longer. And they come back and they said, oh, Pastor, what a wonderful experience we had. And then I had to come back to Bakersfield and go back to school and go through all that again. I had the same thing said, almost the same thing said to me at camp meeting. I have met people that said, oh, Pastor, camp meeting was such an enlightening experience. Being bathed in the glory of God day by day, hearing all those wonderful speakers, and then I come back home and it's a great big letdown. It happens. So I don't think we can be too judgmental against poor Elijah. We've been there. And so we can understand he runs into the wilderness. Have you run into a wilderness recently? Have you run away from God? Where is your wilderness, by the way? Well, we all have them. Some people escape into the wilderness of TV watching. I read the other day that the average American watches 5 hours of television a day. That's not to mention how much time adults and young people spend on their iPhones surfing the web. That's another wilderness we run away into. Some people run away into the wilderness of shopping or burying themselves in work or even into the wildernesses of substance abuses of one kind or another. The The wilderness, my dear friends, is the place we go to run away from stress, worry, and even deal with our anger, or even to avoid a relationship. But you can only keep up that kind of running for so long. You can only watch so many football games on TV, or drink so long, or eat so long, but sooner or later, your energy runs out, and you're going to collapse. I think this is what happened to Prophet Elijah. After a day of running, he's tired, thirsty, scared, and hopeless. Sound familiar? You can run yourself ragged into the wilderness of your choice, but in the end, you just can't see any way out. And even if you did, you don't have the energy to want to work it out. And you lay down on your bed feeling sorry for yourself, scared, frustrated, hopeless, pitiful, and you say, I give up. I don't want to go anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done with it. Or for Elijah, what does he do when he runs into his wilderness? He lays down under a tree and says, God, take my life. Just kill me now. I'm done. And he cries himself to sleep, a great hard sleep. And it's only peace that he can find at this moment, the only peace that touches his heart. But God doesn't leave him there. God sends an angel to wake him up and says to him, arise, eat. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Elijah and I just run myself into the ground for a whole day in the wilderness and finally fall asleep, I think I might be a little annoyed at being disturbed right now. What, are you kidding me, Lord? I'm done. I told you I'm done with all this. Let me be. Just let me sleep. But Elijah does get up. And he does eat the bread and drink the water that the angel gives him. But he's not quite done with his self-loathing yet, my friends, because when he finishes eating, he lays right back down and goes to sleep once more. Again, the angel speaks to him and says, come on, Elijah, arise, eat. You see, Elijah wasn't done yet. His journey with God isn't over, and he would need strength to continue that journey another 40 days to Mount Horeb. And notice this as well. God did not send the angel to yell at Elijah or to tell him he shouldn't feel scared and deserted, nor did the angel scold him by saying, what's the matter with you, Elijah? Don't you trust God? I mean, weren't you paying attention yesterday to everything God did for you in front of you? Are you forgetting how powerful God is, Elijah? Where is your faith? No. And I thank God that we never get a shame on you from God when we are afraid and fall short of God's design for us. And now, my dear friends, I want to share this with you. I believe God sent the angel to Elijah for two reasons. Number one, the first was a sign that God was still with Elijah. Elijah isn't alone. He is protected. And whenever or wherever that old battle axe Jezebel is, and whatever she plans to do, it makes no difference because God is going to see him through. And the second reason why I believe the angel of the Lord came and ministered to Elijah was, yes, to supply him with what he needed. He needed food and drink. But more importantly than that, he came to let Elijah know that there was going to be a tomorrow. Not only did God let him know that he was with him now, but he was going to be with him in the future. You know, my dear friends, it's similar to the story I read this week in Mark chapter 16. When Jesus rose from the dead and the women came to the grave to anoint his body, they instead found who? An angel, right? And this heavenly messenger sent from God gave this angel a very important message to give to the women. And he said in a loud voice, go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. Dear friends, Peter needed to hear that. He was ashamed, dejected, discouraged, sorrowful. He needed to know that there was going to be a tomorrow for him as well. My dear friends, how we need to know that God is with us, and no matter what our difficulties may be, he is right here with us, and he's going to strengthen us to carry on into the future. Our usefulness to God and his calling for us isn't over until God says it's over, dear friends. Until then, all of us, no matter what our age, our health, our vitality, our energy level, we all have a vital ministry to do for the Lord in this church. We have a purpose and meaning in him. As we go into 2019 together, God is giving us a calling. He's giving us a mission. We are all a united family in God. We, together, with our uniqueness, have something unique to add to the kingdom of God. Does that mean we're never going to be afraid? We're never going to be worried or tired or just want to crawl under the covers and say, I'm done with it. I can't go on anymore. No. It just means that our journey with God sometimes calls us to do things and to be things that we may not want to do or didn't ever see ourselves doing. God is wonderful. He's going to give you a special calling this year, my dear friends. And there might be times in our walk together when things get a little scary. But what we can learn through Elijah, that when tough things happen, and when the road gets hard, that it's okay to be afraid, worried, or frustrated. And yes, it's sometimes okay to feel like giving up. That's what Elijah felt like, the great prophet of God. So what's the lesson, and where's the gospel to be found for you and me today? In a nutshell, it's this, that God is with us, and he is going to provide. His provision is more than just cakes and water. Although daily bread is important, and we pray for that, don't we, in the Lord's Prayer. And we have seen from our story today that God responds with exactly what Elijah needed at that exact moment, which was for physical nourishment and instructions on what he was going to do next. The God of the cosmos is right there with him, sending an angel to minister to him and not letting him give up. And that same God is with you and I, my dear friends. He's with all of us, coming to us in the symbolic bread and grape juice in our communion service. A symbolic meal of Christ's presence with us through thick and thin. Jesus is the living bread working within us to strengthen us in our journey. The Holy Spirit is equipping you and I to keep on when we're too worried, putting angels unawares in our path to show us the way and to encourage us. We don't need to murmur or lay down to die, giving up on our ministry, our mission, or our mission to our beloved community here in Bakersfield, or giving up on our mission to this broken and fallen world. Our job is to listen. When Jesus speaks, when he tells you and I am the bread of life. Yes, friends, get up and eat. Drink your fill of Jesus. Otherwise, the journey for 2019 is going to be too difficult for us. But know that when you can't take one more step, God can. We're not left alone. Know that God has sent His angels to minister to you. And yes, they could be sitting right next to you here in this church today. And that angel challenges you now. Arise, eat. You'll need strength for the journey that is ahead of you. Take the spiritual nourishment, my dear friends, that God offers you and I this morning at His communion table. Because no matter how you feel, or what you've lost, or what you're dreading, or what you've done, God has a plan for you. He has a new tomorrow for you. And on the strength of the bread that we are going to receive from heaven, we are enough. We can do enough. And then for the sake of the good news, we're going to share enough. So, my dear Elijahs, eat up. We have a journey ahead of us, and God is with us. Arise and eat. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Dear ones, it is now time for us to separate for our